Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Martin Luther probably spoke about holy baptism as much as anything he wrote. It was one of his favorite subjects. He spoke about baptism and its blessings hundreds of times as he reviewed the lives of the patriarchs, and especially as he spoke of his own life and death. As early as 1519, Luther wrote, "There is no greater comfort than holy baptism." We long for comfort because life is often very uncertain. Personal tragedies and unexpected events turn our lives upside down and inside out. No government programs can help us or comfort us in that hour. And well does the psalmist remind us of that in words repeated in our Lutheran hymnody, "Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation." Trusting one's own instinct or brain cells yields no better outcome. And yet, when all human comfort fades away, there stands the comfort of your baptism. The comfort of holy baptism never ends. Besides your physical birth, no other event is more important than the day of your baptism. We all remember our physical birthdays, but how many of us remember the anniversary of our holy baptism? Who were your godparents or witnesses? Luther instructs us in the Small Catechism to begin and end each day by remembering our baptism, by reciting the words, "In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit," and making the sign of the Holy Cross as we say it. This is to remind us of the ongoing effect and comfort of holy baptism. On that day, you began to live the life that never ends. What makes holy baptism such an important life-changing event? It rests in this. In holy baptism, your old sinful self, aka the old Adam, the old man, the one you inherited from your first parents, was buried into the death of Jesus Christ. All of your sins were carried away by Christ in his death on the cross. It wasn't anything that you did to cause this forgiveness, but only what Christ did in living a sinless life on your behalf and taking all your sins into his own body and into the grave, burying them for good. It isn't baptism plus something else that you must do, something that you have to add, obedience, good intentions, happy emotions, or a decision to think and do better. It is Christ's sacrificial death and resurrection conveyed in holy baptism. Your comfort rests on Christ's righteousness, not on your own, not anything added to it, period. In holy baptism, Christ conveyed his righteousness to you, making you a new person. You were buried with Christ in his death through holy baptism. You were washed clean from your sins, all of them. And when Christ rose from the dead 3 days later, he rose as the victor over sin, death, and hell. Your old sinful self was crucified with Christ, and your new self, the one washed in the waters of holy baptism, was raised with him to live forever. Holy baptism snatches you away from the jaws of the devil, makes you God's child, restrains and removes sin, and then makes the new man stronger daily. All of this is God's work. Holy baptism is not a work which you do, as the Anabaptists say, but a work which God does in you and for you. It is the treasure the one true jewel which God gives you and which faith grasps. The Apostle Peter wrote, baptism now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him. Let those words sink into your ears. Baptism now saves you. Paul's point is clear. If you have been baptized into the death of Christ, then you have forgiveness of all your sins because Christ took them to the grave. And if you have been baptized into the resurrection of Christ, then you participate in his resurrection, a real physical flesh and blood resurrection. And because Christ lives, all those who have been baptized into him live forever. Yet it's true that you continue to sin after your baptism. The old Adam is a good swimmer. He seems to pop up right out of the water at the most inopportune times. But it is also true that the Christian life is one of daily repentance. And this is nothing more than a return to the cleansing waters of your holy baptism. In repentance, you drown the old Adam again. But holy baptism is not man's work. It is the Holy Trinity's work in baptism, which is continually effective because it depends only on Christ's death and resurrection. You can't add anything to it. You don't add faith to it because faith is given by God the Holy Spirit. It's a gift. You can't lose the benefits of baptism except through unbelief. But if you return to baptism in faith, the benefits are still there because they come from God. Those benefits of holy baptism are just as you learn them from the small catechism. What benefits does baptism give? It works forgiveness of sins, rescues from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this, as the words and promises of God declare. Which are these words and promises of God? Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Mark, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. That life bestowed in holy baptism is a genuine, true, eternal life. At some point, our earthly flesh will fail us, and we will die physically. We call this death. But for the Christian, it is not eternal death. It is merely the death of the old self, the old Adam, the old man. The sinful self dies so that only the new man lives. And this new man enjoys immediately the glory of eternal life. That is the status of the life which every baptized Christian has. And so your baptismal life does not end, but it will be changed. In the resurrection of your body on the last day, your resurrected body and soul will be reunited without any sin. For the baptized person, death is no more because sin is no more. For the baptized person, death is no more, sin is no more, there is only eternal life. The baptized have passed through physical death to eternal life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Christ's death was once for all, Paul says. Once for all. His death is perfect. It covers all the sins that you have sticking to you. And no one, not even an angel from heaven, can take this away because it rests in Christ alone. Luther said this when tempted to disbelieve these great promises. I shall cling to the word of God and be content with that. By it I shall die, and by it I shall live. It is as Job says, though he slay me, yet will I hope in him. If he should cast me into the depths of hell and place me in the midst of devils, I would still believe that I would be saved because I have been baptized, I have been absolved, I have received the pledge of my salvation, the body and blood of the Lord in the supper. Therefore, I want to see and hear nothing else. But I shall live and die in this faith, whether God or an angel or the devil says the contrary. Dear friends, in holy baptism, you have true joy and true comfort, especially when the day comes also for you to depart from this veil of tears and stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Fully absolved by the blood of the Lamb who died and rose again for you. And then there will also be that happy reunion before the throne of the Lamb of God with all those who have been baptized into Christ. And you will exclaim, as Luther says in the Large Catechism, I am baptized. I belong to Christ, and he shall never disown me. Christ has promised that I shall be saved. Eternal life is mine. Truly, there is no greater comfort than holy baptism, because it brings you forgiveness of sins and eternal life. So live confidently whatever may happen in this life until the day when Christ calls you home to himself, awaiting the great day when your body will be raised imperishable and you will enjoy the glories of heaven. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Let us stand and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God.